This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to Nailed It, Everything Construction. I am Debbie Deal. I'm flying solo today. Leonard is on another break, desperately needed break. And I am here with a special guest, though, who I will introduce, Robert Ritchie. He is here to join us today. He is representing his company, Bahamas Safety Solution. A few little things before we talk about what we're going to talk about for the duration of the show. So first of all, if you want to get in touch with us at all during the show, you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, toll free 300-5720, or you could stream us live audio and video on Guardian Talk Radio. So I also would like to recognize that the show is actually part done by the Bahamian Contractors Association, but we are sponsored by individuals who are members of the Bahamian Contractors Association. If anybody else would like to be a sponsor, we would really appreciate it because we are a nonprofit and we need your support so that we can continue this show. Right now, I will give you the list of the sponsors, and then during the show that they will have the sound bites with their advertising. Wosley Construction, we have Arm Caribbean, CBS Pro Store, Art Development, Engineering and Technical Services, CMEX Bahamas, Stone Oak Bahamas, Storm Frame, and Bahamas Safety Solutions. So we just had our AGM on Tuesday, and we now have a new board. Four members from the previous board are on the board, but we have a new board, and I'm not going to give you the names of anybody. I'm waiting for the press release. If anybody saw it today, I did not. Let me know if you did. Otherwise, it will be out soon. So at the meeting, by the way, on Tuesday, we had somebody who was saying that they thought that we were doing the small contractors a disservice. We don't have lots of contractors. We have suppliers, we have subcontractors, we have what we consider to be part of the construction industry. And they said, no, we're doing a disservice. So what I did is I went to my best friend, Google. She is my best friend. And I thought I would find the definition for contractor. So a contractor is a person or firm that undertakes a contract to provide materials or labor to perform a service or do a job. That's what a contractor is. So now let's go to the next one. So who is called a contractor? A contractor is a person or a company that does work for other people or organizations. Let me go to the next one. What does it mean when someone says they are a contractor? An independent contractor versus an employee. Independent contractors provide goods or services according to the terms of a contract that they have negotiated with an employer. So we feel that we have not done a disservice to small contractors. We've actually done a service for them because we have persons that are supplying materials like new products that are on the market. Like I'm going to use like fiberglass rebar as an example. So we have subcontractors, we have suppliers, we have everybody as members. So when you come to a meeting, you get to meet all of these persons and you can, you know, trade phone numbers and you could, you know, see what they do, go to their warehouse and see how they're in the manufacturing plant, see what they're doing. So we feel that we're actually making it easier for the small contractor to be able to get in touch with and on in the actual industry. So I just wanted to clear that up only because somebody did bring it up at the meeting. So now I would like to introduce Robert Ritchie again and his company, Bahamas Safety Solutions.
Good evening.
Go ahead.
So Bahamas Safety Solutions, what we do is we offer safety and certification training here in the Bahamas. My training is based on OSHA guidelines and OSHA requirements. Let me take this chance to clear this up because I think a lot of people get this confused. There is no such thing as OSHA certification. Just so people are clear on that, you know, because I always get that telephone call. Hey, do you offer OSHA training? Do you offer OSHA certification? There is no such thing as OSHA certification. OSHA is a U.S. federal agency. And they manage and oversee a set of CFRs, Code of Federal Regulations, and those codes of federal regulations, they have particular requirements for particular industries that employers and employees have to follow. So OSHA doesn't certify anything. In fact, when I started my training, that was the first thing that my instructors would tell me. OSHA doesn't certify anything. So, for example, when I'm engaged to offer someone fall protection training, that's not OSHA training. That's just fall protection training. That is a requirement by OSHA. Now, of course, as people know here in the Bahamas, we had to meet on a key many years ago. This is the wild, wild west out here. And that's actually very, very sad because speaking of fall protection, I think it was just like maybe a couple of weeks ago that a guy fell to his death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you get into this, by the way? Give me the history of, because I've known you for, 25 years, 30 years?
Yeah, a long time.
A long time. So go ahead.
I used to go to sea. So I was a sailor. And I worked for a company called Marine Tanker Services, and after that I worked for a company called Switzer. Both companies are foreign companies, and they have massive amounts of safety procedures and safety regulations. So as I climbed up the ranks and I became a captain, I had to not just follow these regulations, but enforce them. And that also allowed me to be exposed to a certain amount of training through the company. So in 2020, I decided to leave Switzer and strike on my own to start offering safety training. And I realized that I was like, I don't know how well this would work out because, you know.
You've met our people.
Exactly. But, you know, I left and I retired from going to sea in November 2020, mm-hmm. and I had my first job in January 2021.
Wow, that's awesome.
And my first client was Commonwealth Brewery, which is Heineken.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I just kept moving forward from there. And I found that all of the companies, they engage me. But sadly, the local companies, they don't engage me at all.
Right. Well, foreign companies would come from countries where they actually have rules and regulations and laws that they have to follow.
Yes.
Yes. Whereas we may have them, but whether they are enforced or not is a whole different story. And we could give thousands of examples of that.
We don't have safety regulations. Like we have a office of the, how should I say this, occupational self and health, occupational safety health unit, which is a part of, I think, national insurance. Mm-hmm. And that is about if you get injured, then they would investigate and see how, that's more about monetary compensation mm-hmm. from national insurance.
Okay.
But for regulations to regulate the industry to demand and enforce that companies implement safety regulations for their employees, that we don't have. And that is something that we desperately need in the Bahamas.
Right.
Because for a small country, we have a high rate of fatalities. We have a high rate of fatalities.
You did a list.
Yes. In fact, these are just my top 10 hits.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, man, as I just said earlier, the man fell to his death. That was in mm-hmm. October.
Yep.
In Grand Bahama, there was an electrical shock, and the guy was hospitalized, and that was in June of this year.
Right.
March of last year, a man was electrocuted once again in Grand Bahama when his forklift touched power lines.
Wow.
Industrial action in Grand Bahama in July 2021 with tank entry. A man fell into the water tank. A man was killed while operating a straddle carrier in Grand Bahama. A man was crushed underneath a crane in Bimini a couple of years ago. The three guys, and once again in Grand Bahama, that went into the tank.
Right.
And they died.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jacob, our friend Jacob.
And that was 2 years ago in 2022. He died in Collins Avenue when his crane tipped over.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, out of those 10, 7 are fatalities.
Yeah.
You know? We're not even counting.
One is too many. One is too many.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we're not even counting the broken arms or the broken legs or the sprained limbs. You know, we're talking about the worst of the worst.
Right.
You know? And we need to seriously consider. We seriously need safety regulations in the Bahamas.
Right. Well, this is, again, something that small contractors need to know about. Now, back in 2023, in October of 2023, you did a health and safety course for us,
mm-hmm.
and CBS Bahamas was kind enough to give us their warehouse space in the Robinson Road place so that you could actually do the course, and you did it over 2 Saturdays. And it was awesome. And it was, so therefore, 2 of the members of the BCA were involved in this to train anybody who wanted to come. But, I mean, it's available for the young contractors, the small contractors, or the large contractors. It's available for everybody.
Well, you know, my thing is this. I understand if you have a guy, let's say, for example, if he is a drywall man,
mm-hmm.
and it's just him and him to spend few hundred dollars on some training, I understand that. I'm talking about mid-size and large Bahamian mm-hmm. Construction companies,
right.
And not just construction, mm-hmm. but any type of company who have a large amount of employees,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is nothing for you to spend a few $1,000 for me to train mm-hmm. 30 or 40 people.
Right, but again, the small contractor, like just, let's say the drywall guy, right? Okay, so when he's finished pasting, then he has to sand. So again, that's a health issue. If you're not covering your eyes, if you're not covering your mouth and your nose, you know, so it's safety and health, right? So we have to make sure that we're taking care of both things, because even working with cement, when you're mixing bags of, you know, doing your cement work and stuff, if you're not wearing the proper you know, masks and things, what's going to happen is you're going to have problems with your lungs.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And cement is actually even worse because as you inhale cement, mm-hmm. You know, as it hardens within your body.
Right.
But I was talking about it from a financial perspective.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, you know, if you got a guy and he's like I said, he's just doing some sheetrock work and it's him and another guy, mm-hmm. it's a lot for him to spend $300 or $400. Mm-hmm. But if you have a mid-sized company where you have 30 or 40 employees, mm-hmm. what is it for you to offer some training mm-hmm. for these guys to have it? But nobody says that you have to do it. And I mean, even going beyond the training, mm-hmm. to just to have simple requirements of, hey, wear steel-toe boots, wear long pants, all right? Wear reflective vests. Yeah, no flip-flops. Uh-huh. Wear a hard hat. Debbie, a hard hat. Mm-hmm. A hard hat in Nassau mm-hmm. costs $9. Yeah. You could go to R&R Welding and get a hard hat for $9.
Yeah, so it's not expensive.
Okay, so you can't go and get right. 10 guys, spend right. less than $100 and put 10 guys in a hard hat?
Right.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, it's not that for a lot of companies, it's not because, oh, it's too expensive. They just simply don't want to do it because the problem that we have here is we don't value it.
Yeah.
And that is the issue that we have. We don't value it. Whereas other companies in other countries, they value it. When I work at Switzer, and if I had something that I determined to be unsafe, mm-hmm. I could shut it down. And there was no questions asked. There was no concern, I'm going to lose my job. My boss is going to chew me up. There was none of that. Mm-hmm. I deemed that this was unsafe and this could not go forward. And that was the end of it. How many Bahamians can say that working for Bahamian companies?
The main thing that I think about is the scaffold or the lack of scaffold. I mean, that is so dangerous that what we do, you know, if you looked at the one building on the corner of Madeira and Collins Avenue when that three-story building was being built, they had scaffold around that all four sides of that building the entire time from the beginning all the way through. There was always scaffold there, and it just came down. It's a bank. I don't know if it's RBC.
Oh, the one that was RBC.
Yes.
Oh, a scaffolding. That's my favorite.
Right.
Scaffolding, I mean, is my favorite.
But Ansbacher, you saw Ansbacher and the people were climbing out of the windows of the flat roof mm-hmm. or whatever, the doors, I guess they would call them. And then they were just basically working up there with a harness on. But that's six floors.
They had a harness on?
I saw harnesses.
Oh, wow. Because that's another thing we do. It's okay. Kind of like...
Robert, you're asking way too many fancy-dancy questions.
I know. You want me to wear the harness and to connect it? Now you're just asking for too much. You know, it's like people who wear the mask and they just wear it around their chin. Right. It's so effective.
It's really important. And for some reason, we don't understand how important it is until somebody gets sick or gets hurt. And we shouldn't have to wait for that before we actually do something about it.
I don't even think when somebody gets sick or somebody dies, it still doesn't affect the way that we act. We still don't change the way that we do things. I mean, because I've just read off a list of people dying,
right.
and we're still not doing anything about it.
Correct.
You know, and this has been going on throughout our history. You remember years ago mm-hmm. when Tropic Gas used to be? Off mm-hmm. Collins Avenue,
right.
and they had that huge explosion.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we decided to fix that. Well, okay, let's just move it from here and move it somewhere else. But it's not like we created any regulation.
Right.
Like, don't smoke around propane gas.
It's
just that we have, you know, it's like we're allergic to structure. You know, and I know that might sound bad, but that's too bad. We are allergic to it. We just don't want structure. We have no problem when we go to Florida.
Oh, yeah. Listen, you won't wear your seatbelts here, but the minute you land there, you automatically put your seatbelt on.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
But
yeah.
here, you just don't want to do it.
And unfortunately, the private sector can do the courses, and the private sector can maybe, I don't know, you could give somebody a certificate, but the private sector can't regulate it because the regulations have to come from government. So government actually has to be the one that says these are rules that must be abided by if you're going to be in the construction industry.
Well, not only does government have to create the regulations, but government has to oversee the regulations.
Correct.
They have to enforce the regulations.
Correct.
And where I give the private sector fault, is that they don't need the government to tell them to do this.
They can you're absolutely right. But as you said, you know, well, what happens sometimes is unless you get a penalty for doing something, you won't do it. But if you're going to get a penalty or have to pay money if you're not doing it right, then that spurs you on a little bit more to be a little bit more conscientious.
And you're
Yeah, it may not. So there's always something that you actually have to have. Like with a kid, if your kid is being bad, you take away, well, back in our day, you know, I don't even know what they would have taken away, but now they take away your device, right? Oh my God, I don't have my device. What am I going to do, right? So that, you know, there's a repercussion, you know, for not doing it, right? We don't have that. So there's no really, there's no real reason why somebody wants to do it except the contractor who is very aware and wants to make sure that they have a safe workspace, right? Those are the individuals that will do it on their own. But in to say that all contractors do that, that doesn't happen.
Like I said, with the exception of my, to be honest with you, 90% of my clients are foreign companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with them, it's not just about, you know, when they talk about culture, they talk about a safety culture. You know, if I do anything, let's say, for example, if C-Max asks me to do something, mm-hmm. the first thing that happens is I sit down with their safety guy and we talk about safety and we come up with a safety plan and we figure out how we're going to do this the best way possible. And there are no questions asked. Mm-hmm. There's not, that's too much money. No. Mm-hmm. If that's the safest way to do it, that's what we're going to do. Because right. they know at the end of the day, that's better than someone falling or someone getting hurt. Or God forbid, someone dying.
Right.
You see? And it's the same way, for example, another client of mine, which Commonwealth Brewery, they bought SCBAs. The guy, my guy from Commonwealth Brewery called me and said, hey, we don't know exactly, we're not quite sure how to use these. Can you come and show us how to use these?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. You come down, and they take this thing seriously. All I'm asking for from local contractors is to wear steel-toe shoes. That's all I'm asking. You know, this is all you have to do is wear some PPE. And for people that don't know, that's personal protective equipment, which is steel toe shoes, long pants, a hard hat, some gloves. And man, listen, spend an extra $6 and get a safety vest,
mm-hmm.
some nice reflective tape.
Right.
And that's all I'm asking.
Right.
All the other stuff you could deal with later, you know, but they don't even, you know. I mean, that guy was absolutely right. Out here, it's like the wild, wild west.
Well, you know, you also have to consider through the Construction Contractors Act, it actually stipulates the kind of insurances that you must have mm-hmm. as a contractor. So right now, because we're not licensed, we're waiting for the board to actually form the board so that we can actually license all the contractors that can legitimately be licensed, and we can actually start enforcing all of the things that are in the act, and insurance is one of them. Now, think about now, you've got contractors out there. We all just have business licenses. Basically, that's it, you know, and it just happens to have a name of a construction company, right, or a trade. But where is the stipulation that contractor, when he's doing work or he or she is doing work for a client, that person has insurance? Because now that the banks have actually separated, you know, the bank and the client have a contract, the client and the construction company has a contract, but they're not together. So how does, you know, what if the client doesn't know to ask the contractor to have insurance? Because, you know, a lot of times you just get a quote that says, I'll build your house for $150,000, and that's all. You don't get any more detail than that. These are things that out there, because if a contractor has any kind of a problem on a job site with somebody being hurt, what does that person do? What does that contractor do? What does that person do? There's no repercussion. There's no way of fixing that. And that should be something that when you have a business, if you're going to be in construction and have a business license, you should automatically have to have insurance. So what we need to do is get that board to get it formed so that we can actually start pushing that and making sure that that does happen. Because I believe, not that insurance is going to help teach you how to be safe and how to, you know, take care of your health, but at least if there's funds up front that you have to pay to make sure that if there is an accident that everybody is covered, that's at least the first a good first step, right?
Yeah, I think that's a first step to a greater goal.
Yes.
You know,
We need to clean up the industry. You can drive by job sites and it's just higgly piggly. And you see pieces of steel sticking up and the guys walking around, you know, when you pull your lines and all that kind of stuff, but they don't cover the pieces of steel. Could you imagine if you trip and fall on that? Those are just like little things, but they're little things that could create a huge problem if somebody doesn't watch out for it.
Well, you know, the old Clarence E. Bain building off JFK?
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody's been doing some work on that for a while now. And I always see scaffolding up there. And that thing is like 6-7 stories. And I see scaffolding going up 4 or 5 stories. And I see people up on the scaffolding. There's nobody wearing any, no harnesses. There are no lifelines. They're on anything. And you can't say anything. They're not actually doing anything, breaking any laws here. You know, and that's how they've always worked. And these are the things that we need to change. I remember when I first started, with Rentokil, and Rentokil came in and they said, "Listen, guys, you got to start wearing harnesses. You go up in the roofs to put on tents. We got to put on lifelines. We got to put down anchors." And those guys used to complain, "Oh, the work is, oh my God, no, I don't like the way it feels. It's uncomfortable." You know, it was. And they just complained and they complained. But you're
dealing with hazardous and toxic materials.
Debbie, within 6 months, mm-hmm. everybody was wearing a harness. Everybody was anchored down. Yeah. Everybody had a lifeline. Mm-hmm. And the culture was completely
And it took a foreign owner to do that.
It took a foreign company.
Yes.
Because Rentokil has their own regulations, rules
right.
and regulations. Mm-hmm. You know? But you see a lot of behemoth companies. Mm-hmm. You know? And then the pest control mm-hmm. industry, those guys, because those tents are extremely heavy. Mm-hmm. And Debbie, what they do is they put them on their shoulders and they walk up ladders to get to the top of a roof. And there are numerous injuries. Guys hurt their back, guys fall off the ladder, guys fall off the roof. You know?
I see we have a call.
Oh.
Caller?
Hello?
Hi.
Glad it is talking voice along with you and your guest. Oh Lord, I forgot your name.
My name is Debbie and Robert. My name is Debbie Deal and
Debbie.
Robert Ritchie.
Deal. Yeah,
yes.
Deal. Anyhow, what I want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is some public works doing about? You know, what are their duty when it comes to the workers being protected and the owners of the places, properties, being educated on what they should do or what they should not do.
From what I understand, the Ministry of Works in construction basically is the entity that produces a building permit, that does the inspections that are necessary for the building, depending on what kind of building it is. A single story would be foundation, floor, columns, belt, roof, and completion. And also to deliver an occupancy certificate and to ensure that the electrical papers go from the Ministry of Works to BPL. That is their only obligation.
So what happened with the situation whereby people want to build on stilts?
Well, you can do that. I mean, that's the engineer draws a plan, the architect draws the plan, and it's all done. You know, you build it however you want to build it. Building it on stilts is no problem. Obviously, you're going to have to build stairs and that kind of thing to get up to the other floor, but that would all be done through the drawings, and then the drawings obviously are submitted to the Ministry of Works. They go to town planning, and then Ministry of Works is like a 24-step process.
Let me ask that. When I could have seen when I used to do building, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I've noticed, the inspectors, now, when you put on the plate on a building, the inspectors never come up on the scaffold to see how that plate are being, you know, placed, whether you put it there, put it on right or wrong.
Well, I don't know. I would assume they should do that. I've never had that happen, but they should actually do that, because that's the whole purpose, is to make sure the plate is on, make sure the belt course bolts are placed.
The breeze could blow a whole roof off if it's not being bolted down or concrete, you know, the plate or not. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, but that, unfortunately, Brandon, that's not their responsibility. Theirs is just to do all of the things that I mentioned.
Well,
and that's why
responsibility it is.
It's the contractor, whoever's doing the work. That's their responsibility to make sure that everything is done correctly. That's what we're saying, though, that a lot of persons don't really do what is necessary to make sure that we're protecting the health and safety of the persons that are on the job site.
I see what you're saying.
And again, why we're...
It's needed.
Yes, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the board, because the act has been passed, and in the act it talks about a board being formed. So that once that's done, then the contractors will be licensed. And part of the actual act talks about the type of insurances that you actually need as a contractor. So once we get that, then we're going to be one more step further ahead, because we'll actually have things that are and should be enforced, because it's all written up in the Contractors Construction Act.
Wonderful.
So that's what we need. So again, last week when you called, we suggested that you send a letter or have someone send a letter for you to your member of parliament and just request that that actually be done, because it's really important.
But the thing is, you as a contractor, they're supposed to listen to you because you know what's happening. You understand what's happening.
Well, I can only rip the Band-Aid off so many times.
I got you.
Yeah. But thank you for calling. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Break. So we're going to take a break now, and we will be back in about 7 minutes or so.
About the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
But the sickness more than crack, and they just build this house.
Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack up, because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. So become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back, and we have another call. Could you put the call through, please?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a. I learned something. So when someone says they're OSHA certified, what they're actually saying is they have been trained following the guidelines of OSHA.
Right, because they're not OSHA certified. They have just taken the course and they. Know what the rules and regulations are, but OSHA does not give any certification whatsoever.
You know, I work at a vocational and technical institute.
Okay.
And, you know, the kids, well, not just kids, adults, when they're learning these different trades,
right.
I know that's a part of, safety is a part of the training itself.
Correct.
So I know that people are being trained in different safety procedures. You know, you have to wear your PPEs when you're on the site or so on and so forth, right?
Correct.
But is it so we don't have anything, like for instance, if I'm getting proposals from contractors and in the on the site has to be wearing PPEs. But I could put that in a contract, but that's not enforced.
Well, you could put that in the contract because you the client would have a contract with the contractor, right?
Right.
So you are stipulating that for you to get paid, you've got to abide by my rules, and
right.
I've got to abide by your rules. So yes, you could definitely put that in your contract that they
right.
must do A, B, C, and D, otherwise mm-hmm. you don't. They would not get the job.
Yeah, to give you an example, if you want to go on, let's say for example, if you want to go on Commonwealth Brewery's site, you want to go into their brewery, you're going to have to follow their rules and their regulations, which means you have to wear steel toe boots, you have to wear a hard hat, and you have to wear a safety vest at the very minimum. So you, as the person who is the, you would be the employer, you'll be the person who you're giving out the contract, you can require whatever you want mm-hmm. from your contractor.
Right. Yeah.
Even if you require that they have certain amount of safety training, you could require that.
Right. So the only thing that you just have to understand and try to get across to as many people as possible is you can learn all of OSHA's rules and regulations, but they will not certify you. They are just giving you the regulations.
Oh, no. I understand
oh,
that completely.
Okay.
Yeah, I got. I understand
okay,
that completely.
Gotcha.
So if I'm working somewhere that doesn't have these conditions in their contract, they don't care if I come there in Crocs.
Correct.
There's no government law.
No, it has nothing to do.
I cannot wear Crocs.
No, it's nothing from government.
No, nothing to do with the Ministry of Works. Their rule is to check the plan, make sure it's good, give out the building permit, do the inspections, give an occupancy certificate, and get the electrician to do this get the electrical paper straight so that they can go to BPL so that you can get hooked up to energy. That's what they do.
Mm.
Yeah. So we're basically
earlier in your show, mm-hmm. your guest said his favorite is the face mask underneath the chin. My favorite is the safety goggles or safety glasses on the forehead.
Yeah, like you must have extra eyes up there, right?
Yeah. Anyway,
I understand why they do it because it's very sweaty when you have them on. But I mean, you should truthfully just wipe them off and then put them back on again because the whole purpose of the safety glasses.
I have personally heard about two different occasions when a young man was hammering nails and sunglasses on the forehead, and he hit a knot. And you know what happens to a nail when you hit a knot?
It bounces
comes back at you like a bullet.
Yep.
So.
Oh, gracious.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to, it would be interesting for you guys to put some of these questions to a few of these politicians. That would be interesting. That's a good show for you.
Yes.
But anyway,
I guess we do need to. We'd like to have somebody on from the Ministry of Works because, of course, that's where our industry is centered. So it would be nice for that to actually happen. I'll see if Leonard Sands can arrange that.
It kind of blew my mind with the total lack of regulation. I just, but I mean, come on now, you got to have, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, thanks for calling. But you can drive around town and go to many different job sites, and you're going to see. Well, I just at the end of the day, just count how many that you do see that are you know being taking care of their safety and health. Otherwise,
and Debbie,
yeah.
How many, just thinking rationally, you think how much of this is just seriously common sense?
Most of it is common sense, but...
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you don't... Again, different job sites are different. Sometimes the contractor's not there all the time, and it just leaves the guys there. Sometimes there is a supervisor. Sometimes there's not. So it just depends on how it's being done and then the oversight. And everybody's different. And we need... That's why we need the Construction Contractors Act. We need the board formed so that we can actually start regulating these things.
I told a young man one time, he was doing that same thing with the goggles on the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I guarantee you that more people have died on construction sites that have been mauled by bears. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you don't take your PPEs seriously. Would you go skipping through the woods in Alaska with a penknife? I don't think so.
No.
That's why.
Yeah. Well,
you gotta take these things. You know, you can die. You can lose a limb, like your guest said earlier.
Right.
You know how many dislocated knees, torn ACLs. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Anyway.
Well, again, you could always write a letter. I need to get this done and. No sense calling because a call is not recorded, but a letter is recorded. And a hand-delivered letter is even better. So thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it very much. All right, so Robert, we talked during the break, and what I kind of want to talk about is, so for the physically challenged person, we started ages ago doing, you know, parking spaces, ramps into buildings, that type of thing. And I found that a lot of places that you go to, they have built ramps because they need to build the ramp, mm-hmm. but obviously they weren't inspected. At a building that we were at just recently, there was a ramp to get up to the second floor, but it was so steep that there's no way the person could get up there. And this person was on crutches. And I have to wonder who did the inspection for that. Because if you're going to request ramps to be there, and there is, I could be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, it's like an eighth of an inch a foot or something like that. So it's a slow grade so that somebody pushing a wheelchair or somebody with a walker can actually get up it. Who's doing the inspections? What happens with this?
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, the government the government does have these regulations for the handicap,
yes,
which are very good, and they're to be commended for
they
that.
They are.
But here's where they fall off with the follow through.
Yes.
Because now no one goes out there and inspects it, you know, and that is the issue that we have with so many things. We just, it's like we just want to, okay, we write them and now we're done. We don't particularly want, we're not going to try to enforce it because that particular ramp you're talking about, that has to be ripped out.
But have you ever seen anybody rip one out though? No, they just keep them there. They did their best. They did what they said they had to do. They had to do a ramp, so they do a ramp. They're not even considering the fact that that no one could possibly get a wheelchair up there or a walker. Some of them are so, I don't understand.
Right, because at the end of the day, they don't want to spend the money that's required to do it. Because a lot of places, especially if you have multiple levels, you have to have multiple ramps. So you might have to have a
If you don't have an elevator, yeah.
Yeah. You know? And even if you have a one-story building, you're required to have a ramp if you're not able to, if people are not able to get a wheelchair through through your access.
Right.
So, you know, that's the problem that we have. We have no follow-through. Someone has someone for an inspector to go there and say, hey, this doesn't work. And this has to be changed.
Right. And whatever agency determined that, yes, we have to have these ramps, that agency, I would love to see that agency go around to all of the buildings that have ramps and actually see which ones are good and which ones are not. And the ones that aren't, there should be some kind of, I don't know what all the rules and regulations are, but there should be some kind of, you can't do a stop order because the work is already done, but there should be a fine or there should be some kind of a notice where you have X amount of time to actually remove this and replace it and do it properly. And I don't know why people don't have to send in drawings for it, because if you're in a situation, somebody has to determine before it's built that it's being built correctly. And we have to do that with everything else we do with the Ministry of Works, even if you're going to put a perimeter wall. So I don't know if they're the ones that... And again, I don't know. This is a question, if somebody could let me know, that would be great. We'd love to know who we could actually contact with regard to these ramps they're not adequate at all.
Well, I think what they're going to tell you is they're going to say, oh, yes, no, we have the regulation and the regulation should be followed and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we know you have the regulation. Mm-hmm. We know it's in place. We know that you have the law. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is why are they not enforced? Why are you not saying this doesn't work? Mm-hmm. This has to be changed. Like you said, either fine them or tell them you have 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months for you to replace
it. Because these ramps, there's no safety on those ramps.
No.
Anybody who would actually try to walk up with them with a walker or on crutches, there's no way you could actually walk. You'd have to lean so far forward to actually be able to get up those steep ramps, and it's really not fair.
And if you look at other ramps on other buildings, then you will see that there's no non-slip protection.
Right.
Sometimes they're handrails.
Yes.
You know. They're not properly lit.
The word ramp has been done.
Yes.
But how the ramp was
done, it's the bare minimum.
It's not a functional ramp.
It's the bare minimum.
Yes.
And that's what they've done.
Yeah, and that's really okay. That's really sad. And then also you have the same issue with stairs. For some reason, a lot of contractors do not know how to divide properly. They don't know math. And you get to some places where you have, like Doctor's Hospital as an example, when you come off of Shirley Street and there. This is the front entry. There's 5 or 6 steps to get up to the... Every single one of those steps is a totally different height. And again, people hated... Yes. People need to understand your inner ear actually is what functions.
Gives you balance.
Yes. So if you are going up and your first step is 4 inches, the next one's 7, the next one's 3, when you go after the 7, you go to the 3, your foot's going to slam down because your ear is expecting it to be 7 inches, right? And it creates a huge problem, and people are going to get hurt. I mean, every time I go, I prefer to actually walk around in the driveway and go up rather than going up that because it's very dangerous. And again, this is safety. right? This is safety. And you're going into a hospital. This is a safety issue.
You know, I was looking to buy a townhouse. And I went, and this guy was, I don't know what you call it, like a pre-sale or whatever. But it was unfinished. This is the word I'm looking for, sorry. It was unfinished. And he had people coming and taking a look at it. And he had the stairs built, but there were no railings. And I was saying to him, why are you having people walk up and down these stairs and there are no railings? You know, and like you said, the stairs were uneven. And even if they're off by a quarter of an inch, you're going to trip,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, you know, and this is where stuff like regulation comes in, because if someone falls down, if they hurt themselves, they have no recourse.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing for them to lean on to say, well, I went to go and take a look at this condo. It was unfinished. This is how this contract or this person was selling it. And I tripped and I fell. I'm like, well, too bad. Whereas if that's in a country, let me tell you something, on Trinidad, where they have safety regulations, there would be a recourse.
Mm-hmm.
But we just refuse to do it here.
Right.
I can't tell you why. But we just will not do it because, like I said earlier, we do not value it. You know?
Yeah, so, I really don't understand. And, you know, there's another building on just by Battery and Tire that I'll talk about when we come back from the break.
Okay.
Know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past in the Bahamas. Now we're built to last forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. All day.
Okay, well, we are back. So, Robert Ritchie, we were talking about stairs again during the break. So you were telling me about a friend of yours or something that was...
Yeah, I have a friend of mine, and you know, she got a condo, and... She had to replace some of the stairs because it wasn't done properly, and I think some of the risers or the runners or something like that were missing. And, you know, considering the amount of money that she paid for it, and she had to get that sorted out. And to me, this is why it's important that I'm hoping, and I'm not accusing the ministry of anything. Don't misunderstand me, because I don't know. But I'm hoping they have people that inspect this stuff. Because
the majority supposed to be. They're supposed to be inspected.
Because the majority of people, the vast majority of people that build homes in this country, they don't know how to build homes. So they're putting all of their faith in their contractor.
Yes, that's what they're supposed to do, because we are supposed to be contractors. We're supposed to know exactly what we're doing. But unfortunately, a lot do not know. And because we're not licensed and because we only have a business license, what are you going to say? Oh, we have another call coming through?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, yeah, I called back.
Yes.
You know, the gentlemen are very much right.
Mm-hmm.
In the comment in which a lot of comments he had made. I haven't gotten his name because I'm up and down, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say really is this. Anytime anybody building a two-story house,
two-story
house. You know, we got to be careful with the stairs. Put spokes in the railing from mm-hmm. the step to the rail,
mm-hmm.
that children would not fall through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, again, when somebody builds, they're supposed to have an architectural drawing. The architect.
What is it about that?
Well, when you go to get a building permit,
you have to have an architectural drawing.
And the architectural drawing is supposed to be passed by the Ministry of Works to make sure that it's done properly. And then the inspectors would make sure that the things that are on that they are inspecting would be. Now, I don't know whether stairs would be.
But you know something? Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut you a bit.
Yeah.
I, in buildings, right, what I've noticed, it's two to three story, some of them, they doesn't even have any rails.
That's true. And I don't know how they get past, because I'll tell you what.
I don't know.
When I used to build houses.
I'm going upstairs those buildings, I got to walk on the, I got to put my stick to guide me straight up, you know what I'm saying? Slide my cane straight up mm-hmm. on the side of it to mm-hmm. make sure I don't fall over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what about children?
And for some reason, you know, when I was building, one day I was told that they wouldn't give me an occupancy certificate because the front door hadn't been painted, and I didn't understand what that had to do with the price of bread, because it meant absolutely nothing. And I actually had to go into speak to the head of building control to find out what this non-painting of a door is. Yet I could show them places out east that had balconies with doors to the balconies with no railing. So I totally agree with you. I totally agree.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for calling back. So, stairs and ramps and scaffold. Yes. Tell me about the health part that you do when you do your courses. I didn't really delve into that yet.
Well, the health part is mostly... It mostly deals with a particular topic that I'm talking about. So let's say, for example, if I'm doing airborne diseases or blood pathogens, CO2 awareness,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, stuff like that. That is where the health would come in. Health and safety. They're talking about, hey, we want to be able to be safe, so we don't have any health issues. So, for example, if CMEX invited you onto their site,
mm-hmm.
they're going to require that you wear a mask. Go outside, you can wear a mask.
Right.
Because they know that when you inhale that cement dust, as you inhale that into your body,
mm-hmm.
over time that becomes hard.
Mm-hmm. Even in your nose with the nose hairs, because it's moist. Mm-hmm.
And in the nose hairs, you don't mind that too much.
Because you can blow that out.
But when it gets in your lungs.
Lungs, yes. I know.
See?
That's what I was talking about before. When you're tiling as well, and you're cutting the tiles,
exactly.
If you don't wear a mask, and if you don't have goggles on your eyes to make sure they're protected, because all you need is like a little splinter to get in your eye.
And especially when you know we talk about asbestos, because we still have asbestos here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just old. It's not. I don't think people really use it anymore.
No, it's just what happens is once you start to remove it, you have to remove all of it because when it gets old, it has a crust on it so that you don't really have to worry about it that too much. But when you start moving it, then yes, all of that goes everywhere.
Right. So,
and it has to be disposed of in a hazardous waste containment.
I learned when I used to go to sea, whenever you're scaling rust, if you're using a grinding brush,
mm-hmm.
that dust that comes off, you're going to inhale that. Mm-hmm. So you got to wear a mask.
Right.
You know, and that is, you know, these are the things that you are trying to teach people so they understand. And once again, you know, this isn't a company spending thousands of dollars on equipment. You know, you could buy a pack of them.
Right.
You know?
And even the more expensive ones, the ones that have the filters and that type of thing, they're still not that expensive. And especially when you're thinking about your health. You know, I had a mason come to the house the other day and do some work, but then he just disappeared for like 6 weeks. And I, you know, just drove me crazy because he wasn't answering his phone. Come to find out, he had gone to the Dominican Republic because he was having problem breathing. And he had to have something done with his lungs to try to clean them out because of all of the dust from the cement and everything from all the years of doing masonry work, right? And if you don't realize that the dust is what's causing the injury, then you might think that you have something else, like lung cancer or something else, and you wouldn't even know until you go to a doctor. And you know how most men don't really like to go to doctors, so that's another issue. That's another show, actually.
Hopefully I won't be here for that one.
Oh, come on. You're no fun. Yeah, so how do people get in touch with you?
I actually have a website, www.bahamassafetysolutions.com.
Mm-hmm.
All of my contact information is there. Mm-hmm. If they want, they can call me at 421-3113. And, you know, they could call me for safety training, safety consultation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm always available. Not after 5, though.
Oh. But tell me about this.
And not on Sundays, because football is on Sundays.
Oh, I thought you were going to say church. Sorry, Robert. I know you're
better than that.
No,
I got church credit. I don't need to go to church anymore. I'm good.
You did plenty when you were a kid, right?
Oh, God, yes.
So then I understand that you've also just started another business as well. Tell us about that.
I've started a company where we conduct, I should say we... we offer large tanks.
Okay.
So if your tank needs to be sandblasted, if your tank needs to be pressure cleaned, if your tank needs to be repaired by welding,
mm-hmm.
We take all safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
All workers are certified.
Mm-hmm.
They all have safety qualifications.
And you just did some work for CMEX?
I did some work for CMEX.
Okay. And you could see that on your Instagram page.
Yes.
What is your Instagram page?
I think it's Bahamas Safety.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Okay. Well, if you're not really sure, guys, and you can't find it,
but you can find.
You can always call him, and then because then it shows you a before and after, like a whole many different pictures to show the job in total. So it's something worth doing. And again, that's something where I kept thinking about you with the masks and stuff, because all the sanding and everything that you have to do, and then the cutting to repair the tanks and all of that kind of stuff. That's even the sparks from the welding machines and all that kind of stuff, and the torches. That's also something you have to be careful of.
Well, I think for a lot of, especially the large international companies,
mm-hmm.
One of the advantages I have is that they know that I will not just that I'm going to enforce their safety procedures,
mm-hmm.
because they all have their own safety procedures. They're basically the same, but depending on the industry, it might be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But their biggest concern, I think, for a lot of companies is that the contractor that they hire follow their rules and regulations.
Right.
You know, so like if they say, for example, the gentleman that called earlier, if he says, listen, if you're going to be on my site, I'm going to need you to wear a hard hat. or I'm going to need you to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to, I think companies like hiring me because they know, okay, I'm going to enforce that, and that's going to happen.
Right. Well, so I'm going to just take that back to the, right?
Yes.
So, so the foreign company has these rules and regulations that they must follow, and they will request that you also follow those same mm-hmm. rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with people coming in here to do developments from other countries, and they come in and they're looking for licensed builders because the financing that they're getting requires that they deal with licensed builders. And we don't have any licensed builders. So we don't get the opportunity to actually do these projects because, again, the only way that development would actually be done if the bank, because, you know, World Bank, EU, you know, Jeff, 5Cs, wherever you're getting your money from, they have their rules and regulations, too, as to what you have to actually do to get that funding. And so what ends up happening, they end up getting work permits to bring in their own people. And we're not, as at Bahamians, we're not getting the work because we are not licensed. So again, we would follow the rules if we had the rules to actually follow.
You know, Debbie, I would mm-hmm. say this, because mm-hmm. I know we got to wrap up here probably.
Yeah, we do.
Soon.
We got like a minute and a half or two.
Yeah. I think that is something that the BCA needs to look at doing themselves. That, you know, you are willing to license or endorse.
We could endorse, but we cannot license because the building permit and the building and the occupancy certificate and all that is all done by government. So the license has to be from government.
Well, yeah. even the endorsement, I mm-hmm. think, would be helpful, especially for contractors, for example, like on the Out Islands.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a mason, if you're an electrician, if you're a carpenter, and you're living in Exuma or Long Island, or Eleuthera,
mm-hmm.
and you can, we don't have, the government is not licensed contractors here,
mm-hmm.
but I do have an endorsement from the BCA.
Right. I agree with that, but that's something that we would actually have to do in lieu of the government actually doing what they have to do, because the act is actually passed. It is a law. It is a law. We just need them to form up that board so that we could actually have licensed contractors.
And how long did it take to get that law passed?
40, 50 years, I don't know. Long, okay. long time.
So by the time your grandson is ready to collect national insurance, he should be able to get a license.
My grandson collect national insurance? Oh, you mean as a pension? Oh, you're just way too funny, Robert. Anyways, thank you very much for listening. We've had a great show. Thank you, Robert, for coming on and talking about health and safety. It's
Thank
so
you.
Important.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think people just take it too lightly until somebody that they know gets injured and hurt. And we have to stop that. We have to stop waiting until something bad happens before we actually do something.
Absolutely.
So have a good night.
We are always standing strong, a lifetime together. A baby, you and I, we don't regret anything. And now it's a two.